Hello, Frisco and the U.S., because I know that we're broadcasting right now all over this great country. I know we're in New York, California, Florida. I know I have people in Arizona. I want to welcome to our inaugural show with Sherry Salas and myself, Steve Noskin, hosting Common Ground. And just to give you the background to Common Ground and why we do this is because when I was running for re-election recently here in Frisco, there was a lot of different opinions going around, a lot of issues, Sherry, really crazy stuff. And I was like, this is like kind of weird that we can't get some common ground of ideas. In fact, Ira Bashad and David Prince are our guests today. I met with Ira, we met at Black Walnut, and we were talking about politics in general, and I said, it's kind of a shame that we don't have this common ground. And after I lost the election, I'm like, you know what, I think I'm going to do something about it, either go out and stump grounds, talk about common ground, make this community great again.
So many people share a lot of the same opinions and they don't know it because they're so separated. So we're trying to bridge that gap.
It's true. I mean, what this country was built on was debate and compromise. It seems like nationally we're all polarized and it seems like time to come together. So that's why this show was created. This is a great topic we have today. Should we arm teachers? And we have two unbelievable guests today. We have David Prince, who was on Frisco City Council from 2006 to 2009. He owns the Eagle Gun Club in Louisville, right?
And Farmers Branch.
That's right. And we have Ira Bashad, who's now a TV celebrity on WFAA last Sunday, and he's joining us. He's the president of the Frisco Democratic Club. And we're glad they're here today. But before we start, we just want to recognize our sponsors really quick. We have Elevated Roofing. Anybody familiar with Elevated Roofing, George?
I've seen their trucks all over town.
I have to tell you, they're the most amazing company because I just had my roof done. The hail damage that came through, and when the hail comes and every roofer comes to your door, they never came to my door. But
fine,
right? And my wife, she said, we need to get our roof done. So we had Allstate come. And Allstate said, no, we're not going to give you a roof. And someone said, you need to call Elevated Roofing. So we got this guy, Kenny Gammons, to come down. And he worked so hard to get our roof approved. He got our roof approved, and the service that they provide is just incredible. So anybody that has any roofing problems, you really should check out Elevated Roofing. So we want to thank them. They're our premier sponsor. We also have Porsche Plano.
Doesn't love a Porsche?
Yeah, right? I mean, I have a couple myself. In fact, during the campaign, one of somebody said, yeah, we see Steve Noskin walking, but he's got his Porsche following him. So I've been going there for 4 years, and excellent quality, great service. Neil Conklin's great salesman over there. And we have Jeff Booty, who's my service manager. They do a tremendous job, and so I want to welcome them. And our third sponsor is Leisure Living Pools. And Scott Bonetta, who owns the company, I mean, he's an amazing guy. He takes every job really personally. He actually, the owner of the company, comes to the job. The way Scott started the pool industry was he was digging the holes himself. So, yeah, so not only does he go and make sure that it's engineered really well, but he makes sure that you get the product you want. He's not one of these massive pool builders.
That's what counts when they're not managing lots and lots and lots of pools at one time.
Exactly, you're right. And they get involved in the gazebos and everything else. So thank you to our sponsors. We're ready to go. So just how the show is going to work, just so our audience knows, is we're going to spend a little time with David Prince to talk about why he's in favor of arming teachers. And then we're going to take a break. And then we're going to go to Ira, talk about why we shouldn't arm teachers. And then we'll bring us all back together for our last segment and talk about it. So, David, give us your opinion on why you think that teachers should be armed in the schools.
Well, I can tell you, as common ground, I can agree right this minute that I don't really wish the teachers had or were armed. I wish they had other alternatives.
Right, that it wasn't a reality.
Yeah, it's not a reality.
Okay, great seeing y'all.
All right, take it. It was a great show, everybody. Thank you so much.
I can agree with that. I wish there wasn't. But when you look at today's society, it's obviously there are wolves, there are lambs, and there's sheepdogs. And what our government have gone about is trying to disarm the sheepdog and make it hard for the sheepdog to take care of the sheep. There are never going to be a world without wolves. It's just going to be there. So what are we going to do as a council member? I remember working really hard to increase the staff. of the money and the funds for our police department. Government should be doing infrastructure and public safety, and they haven't been. They have grossly neglected those two things. And instead, they're doing social issues and other things. Our police department, the city of Dallas right now, is easily 1,000 officers short. So how can you ask us to do more
with less?
Yeah, with less. And we're trying to protect our citizens, and the most innocent of those citizens, the youngest of our lambs, are totally unprotected because we don't have enough law enforcement officers. We don't. It's not the fact that we have insufficient laws. We have enough laws to stop all of the bad guys and the things that have taken place, the mass shootings. The police officers were close by, but there's just not enough of them. We have enough laws. What we have, a lack of law enforcement, which is related to, we have a lack of law enforcers. So the police officer is just such a complete void in that area. We need more help. We need more police officers in the schools. One of the things, one of the arguments is, we don't want to make the school look like a prison. So what do you want it to do? Look like a morgue or a battle zone? So, I mean, we need to put in things to protect our children. I wish it wasn't arming our teachers, but it is. I mean, that's where we are in today's society. We need to be making sure that people have ability to protect themselves. For years, I've been in a service industry type thing. I was a CPA for 35 years. I was on the Frisco Frisco Family Services, Frisco Chamber of Commerce. I have a servant's heart. I want to be able to provide people the ability to take care of themselves.
So the premise is, sorry to interrupt you, but the premise is that you think we need to protect the kids, and so you don't think that enough of support is given by the police department in the school, so we need to arm teachers. Is that the basic premise where you're coming from? Okay, so...
But it's not the police officer's fault. That's the thing.
No.
It's the government, local government.
Well, it's the government, and you're saying it's the environment we live in, that, as you explained, the sheep and the wolves, so we need to protect our students, so by... And these are your thoughts, that the teachers should be armed to give that other layer of protection to kids.
The closest layer of protection that they possibly can get, because they are the ones that will be there the fastest. We have training available for them. It's not just anybody's going to be able to get a gun. We have training with our gun range. We have instructors. We have places to go for the teachers before they can carry it. Is that the best solution we can come up with? I would hope not. I really think that's not the final result. I think we need metal detectors, we need fencing, we need guards outside. If we have to make it look like a prison to make these kids safe and make it look like a prison, I don't think they have to. I don't think that's a mandate. We have ways of protecting children. They have the lockdowns, we have ways of accessing school where people can't get in. They just need to be more careful in how they manage it. Training is important. If we do have to go to the teachers being armed, yes. So you want common ground? Yes. Give me more police officers. We don't have to arm teachers.
All right, but in Frisco alone, I mean, we do have SROs in each of the middle school and high school, and they arm properly.
Yes,
so they
are.
And they're the ones that, and again, I'm not taking any side in this, but I'm talking about what the public feels. They say we have these armed guards.
Right. Santa Fe had an SRO on duty and on campus when that happened. So.
Right.
Yeah. And they couldn't get there fast enough. So I mean, it's the at that point of contact is not always the last resort. If you have more law enforcement, the people that were in
Parkland,
they knew about him in advance. There just wasn't enough law enforcement agents to be able to get out and properly investigate that. That is one of the problems we know about Las Vegas. There were times when there were plenty of warning signs. In fact, there were calls to the police department to come investigate a problem. There wasn't enough police officers to get there.
Right.
I think they could have stopped the Las Vegas shootings had they had more police officers. I'm not.
So basically you're saying we should, if we're not going to arm teachers, then the alternative would be invite more cops inside the classrooms.
I don't mean literally.
I'm saying because we can't do that, you're saying this is a solution, arming
Correct.
Teachers.
Correct. If we can't put more police in place to right. stop the bad guys before they even get to the school, we have the ability to monitor social media and find out people that are anticipating what's going on. Go and look and see if there was enough police department. I mean, right now, Dallas is 1,000 behind. I mean, that's really a significant amount of police officers that they are behind. They say 300. Well, that was before the growth. So
right, and that's a national problem because they can't get enough law enforcement people to even, you know, sign up to be cops. So that I don't see that as a solution. And unfortunately, you know, going through a teacher program of training them, that becomes a lot. It becomes very fearful, right?
And not only that, it's very expensive.
What's very expensive?
Well, in the state of Texas, there are certain programs that allow teachers to carry, and there's training that is required, and there are some. I looked it up, and I'm not sure because I just read it out of an article, but it's like $1,900 to train a singular teacher and for one program, and then it's like $30,000 for another
one. Yeah. Well, how expensive it is to bury children. Yeah.
No, I completely agree. I was just adding the information.
Yeah.
No, that's the part. You know, the fear factor is, okay, somebody comes in, and, you know, what are we going to do at that point? You know, if we don't have enough cops, are we going to look back and say we should arm teachers? And that's how this whole topic really evolved, right? Because people are like, oh, if there were teachers that were armed in Parkland, or if there was a teacher at, what was that last shooting we just had in Arizona or somewhere? I mean, then, you know, maybe they could have eliminated the shooter. But there's other points and that's why we're glad you're here, because, you know, we train these teachers. How trainable are they, number one? How are they going to react in a crisis situation? Where are they going to carry their firearms? Have you looked into, you know, those type of questions?
Yeah, I mean, that's seriously, that is a real issue of how they're going to protect those firearms. That's, you have to keep them on your bodies of some sort, way or another. There has to be a way of properly protecting that firearm. I mean, that's paramount. But I'd like to stop the wolf from even getting in the school. Well, we don't have to. And you mentioned we don't have enough police officers. But the reason we don't is because politicians have been grossly negligent in their allocation of our tax resources. They're spending them on social issues and other things. Major things that politicians should be doing, and that's what I was doing, was making sure you have public safety and infrastructure. Those are two basic reasons for your state government. And it's just sad that we're into this position, because I think the politicians and the bureaucrats have abdicated their roles as being safe keepers of our children and us. Making more laws is not the answer.
Well, what you're explaining is, let's be proactive, not reactive.
Right.
You know, do it before
they get to them.
So put more budget money into law enforcement.
Absolutely.
Pay them more, give them better pensions, get them involved, get our vets that are coming back, get them as law enforcement.
Amen.
And you're saying then put these people into the schools to protect, or
into
go
the schools.
Right, because we looked at metal detectors, you know, for Frisco ISD, and it just wasn't a logistical solution because of the time it would take. I'm just saying the point that was brought up to get the kids into the school, that they were put in a very uncomfortable position if they were waiting to get into the school.
Well, I have a lot to say about that.
Well, but
I'll wait.
Okay, but let's talk about it.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, it takes a long time. How long does it take to train the kids on hide in place? I mean, you're training them how to be hiding in schools. You're putting training in. You're taking time away from teaching to teach them how to duck and hide. You know, if we don't do the metal detectors and lockdowns and security people, then we're just leaving it. Gun-free zones never work. The biggest problem is, you look at how are we doing with drug-free school zones. We can't keep the drugs out of school. We can't keep them out of our cities and our states. And now you want to ban guns and keep guns away from law-abiding citizens is how this society is heading. I don't really want them in the school. I really rather guns not be in the school. But if you abdicate opposition where public safety has been relegated to an afterthought, you're going to have this kind of situation. So we have to arm them.
And you would believe that they should carry on them rather than be in a vault, say in a hallway? Because I know that some districts have put a vault in the hallway as a common area for trained teachers. Closest teacher goes to the vault in that situation.
It's a great idea.
I was going to say, could you imagine a teacher carrying a gun on them in a middle school?
Oh, yes, you can.
What happens?
I can imagine it, yes. Versus not having, that's not a very good scenario. None of this is a good scenario, but I can imagine it being a better scenario than them giving them big 2-foot bats to defend themselves.
No, my concern is not the teacher or the gun. It's the other 22 kids that are in the room with her.
So they're
gonna, I have a middle schooler. So.
Some of these middle schools and high schools are very large kids, and the teacher's carrying a gun, and they want the gun.
And what's that rule where the teachers can't even touch them, Mr. ex-board member?
Okay.
No, whatever it is that doesn't allow, the teachers have to be trained before they can actually physically touch a child.
They can't touch, but that's an emergency situation, so.
Well, I would think if they lost their gun, that would be an emergency situation.
Right, George? Well, there's a couple of problems there. It doesn't solve the problem. If what you're proposing would solve the problem and it all, then I would say, it's something to look at, but that brings a host of other problems. For example, when you have a live shooting, it's an active shooting, how does the police identify who's the perp and who's the teacher trying to defend the children? So, in a quick moment, there's a host of problems that come with it, so it's not an end-all, I would think.
No, it's not. This is not the optimal position, but they said the same argument for people with concealed carry. If somebody's in robbing a store and you have people trying to defend themselves, the police are going to come in and not know who the good guys are.
All right, we need to take a hard break right here. We're going to do some live commercials right now, and then we're going to get Ira to talk about why teachers should not be armed. Thank you so much, David, for that.
Yeah, don't worry, audience. We're bringing Ira in
for
the other side, I promise.
So real quick, our premier sponsor, Elevated Roofing. In fact, my wonderful wife is here, Marianne. She's joining us. She's going to have a moment near the end of the show to talk about health moments, which is really exciting. But Elevated Roofing, right, babe? When Elevated Roofing came, they were amazing. In the first segment when we opened up, I talked about how great Kenny Gammons was. But I have to say, after we had the roof installed, I could not believe what they do. The follow-up and the service. We picked out, just to tell you real quick, during the installation, it took us months to pick out a color for the roofing tile. Like months, literally, going through these books, right?
Oh, wow.
And we picked out a color. And they start putting it up on the back of the roof, on the back of the house, and
you didn't like it.
And one of us didn't like it. So
one of us, not to throw anybody under the bus, right. Marianne.
So one of us didn't like it. So we called up Elevated Roofing. They came right down. What do they have?
Within 15 minutes.
Right. You have to get a little closer. Right?
Yeah, within 15 minutes.
They were there.
We had all the top dogs at our house.
Vice President of Operations.
What do we do?
What do you need, ma'am? What do you need? The service was incredible.
They asked us what we wanted. We went through the books and we selected what we thought was best. And within a couple hours, they had new machinery out there delivering the roofing shingles, and they were tearing off. And they were great.
Great company. We'll talk more about them. Later segments. And we're also going to, again, thank Portia Plano. Kurtwright helped put this together to get her on the air with Portia Plano as one of our sponsors. Again, I've had Portia since I moved to Texas. I love their cars. They're amazing. In fact, I won't mention the other brand that we had. We were very loyal to another brand, another German company, for a long time, and they wouldn't stand by their product. And they actually had an opportunity to keep me as a client, and they blew it. So ever since then, starts with a B, right? We have to put it right down. They could be a future sponsor. But so we went to Porsche.
When you have a brand new car and a 50,000 miles, the engine ceases on Stanford Parkway.
And they wouldn't stand behind it. That's a problem, When your wife calls and says, "I'm stuck and nobody's helping me." So we've been at Porsche Plano for 4 years, and in fact, Marianne just got the e-hybrid, which is an amazing vehicle, and their service and their people are just extremely talented. So I would recommend, if you're interested in Porsche, go to Porsche Plano. And Leisure Living Pools, again, Scott Mineta and his son Andrew work there. Great people. They will sit down with you and go over every design for you on your pool, on your gazebo, on your deck. These are hands-on people that understand the climate and the grounds in Frisco. In our pool, we had We unfortunately did not use Scott. We didn't know about him at the time, and we had some problems in our pool. And when we talked to Scott about it, he was like, yep, I know your neighborhood. I know it. I know what it's all about. So in Frisco, the ground moves differently in different parts of the city. So know somebody that knows what they're talking about. You're interested in a pool, Leisure Living Pools, that's who you should contact. Okay, so now we're back at the show, and we're going to talk to Ira, who's the president of the Frisco Democrats Club and also a celebrity of his own right, WFAA. What's the name of that show that you're on?
Inside Texas Politics, WFAA, on Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock.
And Ira, people don't know, but Ira's a Georgia Bulldog as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. A lot of people know.
I lived in Georgia for a minute. My husband lived there for 4 years.
There you go. So give us your take on why teachers shouldn't be on.
Well, the first thing I want to say is I'm glad to be here. I also want to thank you for your service on the school board and thank David for your service on the Frisco City Council. I'll tell you this. This is probably the least partisan issue that I could have been called to talk about because the support for not arming teachers, in my experience, is almost unequivocal. I've got friends and a lot of friends who are teachers who don't want this. Other people who don't want this is the Frisco Police Chief and the FISD Head of Security and the past and new FISD School Board President, the entire school board, all teachers that I've ever talked to, the Texas State Teachers Education, National Education, National School Resource Officers, nobody that I know is in favor of this. So I appreciate what David said at the beginning, that it's not his actual first choice. It's where he sees it as a potential. 73% of teachers oppose this, and 63% of parents oppose this. I feel pretty strongly that this is not the way to go.
Can I ask you, Steve, when you were on school board the last 3 years, was this a topic of real discussion? Did you have lengthy discussions as a board?
Well, we did talk about arming teachers, but it was pushed aside for various reasons, some of them that I always said. The expertise that we brought in from the Frisco police and from our security people told us for various reasons it wasn't a good idea.
Amongst the many things is what George talked about. You know, one of the things that the head of security said is you can't teach judgment in a crisis. You have police officers that have 800 hours or so of training and however many hours a teacher might get. And then we're going to ask a teacher who's been doing a math lesson to all of a sudden pull out a gun and try to defend a student or maybe defend herself from a student. It just doesn't seem like an option that's got viability.
I have a good analogy for that. So just because you can swim and you can swim well doesn't mean you're capable of going in and saving a life, because someone that's drowning behaves very differently. They basically almost want to take down whoever's trying to save them because they're panicking. So that's kind of what you're explaining is like, even though you think you can shoot, you think you can do this, are you truly trained? And in that moment, it's very different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in that moment, you stop being a math teacher and you become a policeman. Except the problem is when the real policeman and SWAT walk in the door, to George's point, they just see a person with a gun. I see the opportunity for accidents and tragedies accelerated by having this.
So, I mean, we heard what David said, you know, different types of options. What type of option would you see then? If we're not going to arm the teachers and we necessarily don't have enough law enforcement people in the schools, what are some of your ideas that you would come up with to protect our students in case of a crisis?
Yeah, because I read some research that indicated, and it's true because we see that this issue is going to grow massively year to year. So next year we should anticipate more school shootings next year than we had this year and the year after that. It's going to get worse. So to do nothing, I don't think, is a solution.
Well, I don't think anybody proposes doing nothing. I mean, the reality is that there will be no perfect solution, like any other issue. There's no perfect solution. If there was, we would have found it. And I think we'd all be unanimously in support of it. It's got to start, and it won't stop everything. But we've got to, first of all, counselors need as much training as possible. You know, FISD, you have to hold them out, and you know this personally. FISD is about as good as it gets.
Ooh, that's my favorite department at FISD. FISD is the security. They got it going on.
And not just security. I think the schools, the teachers, the administration, the faculty, I mean, but counseling. There's a lot of signs. You know, a lot of these mass shootings that have happened, sadly, people knew. I think you mentioned there were people knew, but they either didn't follow up or weren't sure. Counselors have got to be trained to note the signs that could lead to things like this. We've got to have better enforcement of the red flag laws, where you've got an opportunity to prevent things in advance. We've got to have the resource officers, of course, trained and ready to go. But I fall back to this. I mean, you've got to leave security, in my opinion, you've got to leave security in the hands of people that are professional security people. And that's the position that I take on that. You got to leave it to the professionals.
So at this point, you would, if the God forbid there was this type of crisis, that we would just rely on a local law enforcement, and as soon as they get there, they get there.
I mean,
the police department here is very good, and we are broadcasting outside of Texas. So, you know, I know Long Island, where I'm from, their security is not like Frisco.
Right, they don't have the response time.
They don't have the Suffolk County Police sitting in the schools, okay? So, you know, in that situation, and you know, New York is more liberal, so they have less reasoning to arm people.
Just a little bit.
In fact, when I got my gun license in New York, it took me, a year? I had to tell everybody that I knew that I was getting a gun. I had to run the Yaphank, which is a town like an hour away, to meet with a police officer for an hour and be interviewed. They contact my wife, asked if I had any marital problems.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. So,
could
it's different
you see
everywhere.
That in Texas?
But as far as Frisco's concerned, since I am here, we've done a lot. Frisco is the exception, I think, because we did add mental health counselors, and we do a lot of things that are good here, and we do have a great police force. But outside of Frisco, outside that bubble, you know, and in the Parkman situation with the deputy, basically, he was just, indicted for not responding. So here we have these trained people, and they're not getting there in time, and unfortunately, people are getting killed. So
that makes the case. If the trained person didn't go in, what's the teacher going to do? What's that teacher going to do, the 23-year-old teacher who's in his or her first year? I don't see it that way. I mean, I don't think that putting more guns in schools is going to create a safer environment, a better learning environment. And it's a tragedy, and it pains me to no end to think about some of these tragedies that have happened. But
like David said, we hate that this is even our reality.
Yeah,
right,
nobody's
happy. What is that SRO going to do if, God forbid, there is a shooter on one end of the school and he's on the other? Even if he gets there in 2 minutes, a lot.
I mean, I can't answer for everyone. Right, and I live in Frisco, by the way. You know, I don't come here today. I know a title is attached to this session, but I come here as a citizen, as a parent, as a person involved in the community. You could have a Republican president here, and I think they would have these same statistics, that most people are against this and don't want this. The judgment, I say again, if the professional didn't rush in, what's the teacher going to do? And I don't want to put them in that position. I don't want to put them in the position to be so on the defensive for their entire teaching day and week that students are essentially taught to normalize that having guns around you all the time is okay.
No, and I get that position. I understand both positions. I don't know if you're aware of what the NRA does for free. So the NRA will actually go to a campus and monitor as an independent. Nobody will know that they're even there. And they'll watch what happens in the morning. And they have this rubric that they use, and then they'll go to the principal and go, if a shooter was here, you would have lost X amount of kids, and this is what you need to prevent that. They actually give them, outside of arming the teachers, give them other recommendations. Like, a concern that I have in our district is, we have the SROs there during the day. What happens before school starts?
Sure.
Because the teachers are coming in the building, and there's no protection. Think about in your mind how many different scenarios can happen. I'm not going to put anything out there. That
could
happen.
But I think that probably goes back to exploring the mentality of the perpetrator, because they don't want to show up, and this is going to sound really awful, and just victimize a few that are in the parking lot before school opens. They want to be there when school is open and make a big,
It's another topic, but let's not talk about the suicide rate for kids nationally. Okay, and those kids are depressed. So how do you monitor if those kids are potential?
Right. That's what I was saying to David when you were talking about them carrying it on their body. I'm like, it's the kids in the classroom that concern me in that situation.
So that kind of leads me back, and I know it might be getting off topic, but it leads me back to, how do you prevent the firearms from getting into the school? And I know that's off topic.
It's actually on topic.
I definitely research metal detectors.
I don't understand how we can get, and it, you know, a large population into the Star for a football game, going through strict security and being wanned, and we can't get our kids in school that way.
Well, the lines are pretty long sometimes.
Well, there's 10 or 15 lines. This is what they is what they do for a living. They're in event management. They're not then going to go teach a PE class right afterwards. I think you aggregate 500 or 600 or 800 kids in front, you could create a bigger issue.
Well, I know the FISD, we put into place before I left to have more canines in the school and to create that omnipresence, just so kids see things that are going on. The kids can see the dogs. You know, they know that they're being sniffed out.
I did reach out to a lead in Santa Fe, Texas, after this, because they did put metal detectors in. And I mentioned the whole, you know, while they're waiting to get in, they're sitting targets. And they said, no, really, they have it down to a science. The kids get in really well. But the problem they have now is it's very costly to maintain them and to run them, because you can't just put extra teachers on the metal detectors. So that's an added cost. But they did say that they get their kids in very quickly, and it's not even an issue anymore.
Doesn't McKinney now have metal detectors? Or
they have a Facebook group, and they've really been working towards that. But as of right now, they do not. They've been up against the fight on that. Yeah.
All right. So, Ira, that's a good position that you bring. And when we come back, we're going to have Ira and David talk about the issue, hopefully a little inner exchange of conversation.
Do we need to hold you two apart?
So far, so good.
Yes. Steve, you sit on David, I'll sit on Ira.
He said he agrees with
me. I agree with him.
It wasn't as controversial as I really wanted. So when we come back, we're going to have Ira and David talk for a while, and then the last 5 minutes of the show, Marianne is going to give us her health tips, and I'm sure it's going to be a good one, because my wife is probably the healthiest person that I know in the entire world. So we're going to take commercial break, I guess, which we really don't leave, because I have to talk to me, unless you want to do it this time.
No, I don't want to.
George, you want to do the commercial?
Hey, did you catch that? I said I didn't want to talk.
I know, that's crazy. So the last segment is, again, sponsored by our premier sponsor, Elevated Roofing. And if you watch our Facebook Live, you'll see the logos for our sponsors come up on the screen. But Elevated Roofing, just again, to say what happened. Let me just tell you what happened at the end of the project. It was really exciting. So the job is complete.
Is this the part where the name doesn't match the service?
No.
The name thing?
No, we didn't even get to that yet. Okay. That's another show. So, no, Elevated Roofing, this whole crew comes after the job. They left the job. We thought the job was totally done. The place was pretty clean. And they had these guys with these metal detectors picking up all the miscellaneous nails that you and I would have never seen. And then we get a phone call that the power washing guy will be there the next day. And there's a guy literally power washing our driveway for, what, about an hour or so?
Right.
It was just tremendous service all around.
We didn't even ask. They said, by the way, there's some tire marks on your driveway. We'll be there tomorrow morning. Clean that up.
And then we're still actually not done with the roof, because we have to get our gutters done. And that was even another scenario. The gutter guy shows up like 7:30 in the morning. And he goes, I'm going to do your gutters. I'm like, hey, can I see the color? Because we had a color situation on the roof crisis. And he shows me the gutter, the color that he's doing. I'm like, wait, I got to show this to my wife. So we go inside, and it was the wrong color. And I'd say within 20 minutes, Kenny Gammons, again, the salesperson for us, was at our door with swatches of different colors and said, just tell us what you want. He goes, we pride ourselves on service. And it was extraordinary, I think. So that's Elevated Roofing. Porsche Plano. I happen to drive a really nice car, and I'm not trying to brag, but it's just the machine is just incredible. I drive a 911 Targa, and I have to say, even though my wife doesn't like it because it's noisy, but guy of my age driving that car, it's a lot of fun. I have to say, performance-wise, even the mileage on the gas is incredible. I get about 26 miles to the gallon. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And the Targa, if anybody's ever seen the roof go down, that's an engineering genius, because they can only make like 1,100 of these a year. That's why there's not too many Targas. It's just incredible the way the engineering takes place. So Porsche Plano, please check them out if you're going to even think about getting a high-end automobile, because they are the tops. And lastly, of course,
who to see?
Who, Neil Conklin?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to say
he's
that.
The best.
Oh, okay. Neil Conklin is the best. He actually lives in Frisco, and he's a really good guy, and he will help you all the way. Follow up calls. I mean, he even came to our house to help program in the garage
door. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we couldn't figure
that
it out.
That is customer service.
Yeah, that was really good. And Leisure Living Pools, again, Scott Mineta, great guy. Again, I don't know many people that would send the owner of the company right to your house, look at the ground, decide what you're going to do, stay within budget, and give you a product that exceeds none. The guy, from the pictures I've seen, and I read up about his service and about the workmanship, incredible. So I want to thank those three sponsors again. And I want to welcome everybody back to our third segment with Ira Bashad, the president of the Frisco Democratic Club, and David Prince, who's the owner, ex-CPA, but owner of the Eagle Gun Club. Great, by the way. I took my my test at your club for my concealed handgun license. It was very nice. Everybody's really nice, and I've been there a couple of times after.
Appreciate you coming.
So let's open it up between the two of them. Do you have any poignant questions?
I don't. We have a few things on Facebook. I have some questions, especially since Ira gave us some data. You threw out 73% of the teachers are against it, which I do agree after doing all my research, but where does that come from?
I don't have the exact source.
That's a Gallup poll that was put out.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of polls.
You got to bring your sources. Come on.
All right, well, having been asked to be quiet for 15 minutes, I'm the biggest achievement I've ever had.
I know, right? I felt bad for both of y'all.
I'll send you back the notes and annotations later.
Yeah, please.
That's hysterical, David. I don't know if anybody watching saw you just do that.
Match tongue. Be polite. We're so trying to become a grand polite, aren't
so
we?
So, since Ira did speak last, do you have any questions for Ira about his position, or?
No, I mean, figures never lie, but liars figure. But so the statistics, when people sort of ask, do you want guns in school? Well, not just no, but really no. I don't want guns in schools. I mean, so, you know, teachers, do you think we ought to be armed? No, we don't. We don't think we ought to be armed. We think we ought to be teaching. That's right. Their job is to teach, not protect the kids. So I'm perfectly fine with not having guns in school. It's just that we have failed our children in being able to protect them before the perpetrator gets to school. So you don't like the ideas of when the police officers get there, they have to wonder out who to shoot because the teachers have the gun. Well, hopefully the perpetrator is down by that time. I don't want the teachers worrying about a lot of things, but I guarantee you when she's hiding behind the desk, fearing for her life.
Or
I want
his,
to do something.
David, we got to represent his or her life.
Sorry. There you go.
Sorry.
They're afraid for their life. I want to give them something besides a bat or a brick or a stone to throw. I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, absolutely
or
ridiculous.
Mace.
Or mace.
Oh, yeah.
So give them something. Whether they carry it, lock it in a door, do something with it, but give them a chance. Until society comes and now arms people to be able to get to them, fine. But until then, give the teachers a fighting chance against these people. It's going to continue to happen because there's not enough law.
But he just said it right there, society. I think that's my concern. Of course, I agree, a bat or whatever, rock. But a locked door and a response time of 2 minutes where the entire force shows up is different. You know, my concern isn't just with the actual incident. My concern is about what message this sends to kids for the rest of time. And you think about normalizing a gun in society. And so here I would ask this question about society and tempers and how you get along and how you discipline and think about some of the extreme coach or anybody else who may have the gun. How long is it going to be till a kid's shot for turning in his homework too late? Or sassing a teacher, or not showing up on time. I mean, how long is it going to be? It's going to happen eventually, and it'll only be once, but it's the same kind of thing as this. To me, to normalize that, to have these little kids knowing a gun's in that room, living in fear, this disproportionately also impacts people, minorities, people of color, who to having a gun around is not a sign of comfort whatsoever. I don't think that's a positive. I can't even find any positive in that.
I know David wants to remark about that. He's waiting.
No,
so,
just,
yeah, you're talking about the stability of the teacher. That's hard.
I'm talking about society as a whole. You have that tens of thousands of teachers that have guns, at some point they're going to be a target for that gun. They're going to be attacked for that gun. There's going to be a fight where they don't feel like they can physically restrain it. And so instead of somebody else coming to the aid, they're going to pull out a gun. The problem is they might miss.
And that's a big, those are valid what ifs. But the alternative is they're just innocent slaughter animals at that point. They're going to get killed, and you don't give them a chance. There's no alternative. So why not arm? And the training comes into place. You're acting like there's no training at all. There is training, and the guns are not on their hips, showing, you know, this isn't the Wild West. They're concealed. They're trained, and they're evaluated whether they can have this gun. And it's a stressful situation. Not everybody needs that firearm in their possessions.
Okay, so let me jump in, because I interviewed a lot of teachers for this. I will be completely honest. I couldn't find a teacher that was willing to say they were for arming. But I got a lot of feedback. So what you said, I literally had a teacher tell me that she feels like the reason kids are taking to guns in general is because they're desensitized to violence, which is sort of what you just semi-described. I will say I had several teachers that they don't want to take a gun on themselves into the classroom, but they would like to consider having more guns at the front of the house. So staff that doesn't have classroom or kids be armed. And what I'd like to explain, because I kind of have my raising helps me understand a little bit more. People that carry, it's a way of life. So it's not as scary. It's not as intimidating. So, and I get there's a disconnect for people that don't carry. They can't maybe relate to that. Maybe they can. I don't know. But it's so if we have teachers that are already comfortable and they really are trained and have been for, you know, like people in my family since childhood. I mean, in my grandma's house, you could put a loaded gun in the corner and it just sat there because it was just a way of life. For them, if they're truly comfortable, is it irresponsible to not entertain it? I mean, I totally get where you're coming from. It's just we need to start having these conversations, because if we do have teachers that very much want to carry, should we not entertain that idea?
You said, can we relate? No, I can't relate, but I can respect it, because I can respect two competing thoughts in my head about the opposite sides of an issue. But when that teacher's carrying, and I go back to this, and I want everybody who's listening to think about your child sitting in a classroom right now who's talking while the teacher's talking. And then the teacher taps the gun to tell him to be quiet.
Oh,
that will happen.
My own. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, David, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Those are big points. Okay. May not happen. Slaughter is taking place inside our schools today. I mean, the kids are being slaughtered because they can't get there fast enough. Resource officers, one resource officer may not be able to get there in time. It's gun-free zones do not work. Now, who has them? Once again, let's have a discussion. It's not zero to nothing. 100% of teachers want zero. More guns in the front of the house. Great. Come up with a solution. Whether every line teacher has a firearm, no, maybe not. But have more people armed inside of it. Make it an area where the bad people realize they may lose their life to go in. It's not a gun-free zone. It's restricted. There's got to be solutions here besides no guns versus tap on the hip to make them behave.
Right.
That's, to me, is ridiculous.
What do you think about that, having guns in the front of the house?
I'm not an expert on this. I'm a recruiter.
No, I know.
But I'm just saying. So, you know.
None of us are experts.
A police officer might have been invited here who would be an expert, or a school resource officer, or a school board member. Well, you're a school board member. Those are people that have expertise. I don't have expertise in this. I came here to talk about what I think, you know, Joe Citizen, and at least a percentage of them. Not all of them, of course not. I don't have the answers to everything, but I know for a fact that I don't believe in that. I don't subscribe to the good guy with a gun theory, because there's no actual proof. It's a great marketing slogan. I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm supportive of the members of the NRA, but I'm definitely not going to take any guidance from the leadership of the NRA, whose motives are very clear that they want to sell more guns. They represent gun manufacturers. I even I can relate to that, but I don't understand that's not true at all.
Yeah, don't they represent owners?
They represent me. Yeah, look, I'm the vigilant gun owner. They don't represent the manufacturers.
Regardless,
they don't sell weapons.
The members, absolutely.
Hold on, I got you, Ira. I'm going to represent myself as a parent, even though I offered it to be chewed on. I don't want to trust, you know, that that person is a good guy carrying an arm, you know, a gun. So, as a parent, I would want to vet, like, to the nth degree this situation, because mental health issues exist inside classrooms with the adults in the room as well as outside. So, I get what you're saying, absolutely. Just on that.
Yeah, I just want to clarify that the NRA does not represent manufacturers of guns. They represent carrying.
I don't speak NRA, so I'm just saying. I'm glad you got that
covered. Right. I'll let everybody else decide who they represent.
Okay. But,
go on, Ira.
There you go. That's okay. That's what we're all here for, right? We're all talking
David
about.
Smile.
Oh, well, listening. It's just not the person.
And a common ground today. This is a common ground today.
I'm already in common grounds with him.
We've got to get it spicy, guys.
That's why it's called a discussion. Half the issue in this country
people don't talk.
Is that nobody talks.
Praise.
A winning argument doesn't have to be 99-1. A winning argument could be 51-49.
Say it, Ira. Say it.
Both sides get something, and both sides come back for more because they didn't get everything.
Hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I own my own business, and we negotiate all the time a contract. And if you walk away and you're the 100% winner, then you lost because the guy that you beat is going to try and get you next time. You have to both walk away and say you won. So maybe I won by a little, but, you know, as long as we both feel that we got
everybody
something.
In this room wants to save and protect kids.
Sure. Absolutely.
There's nobody in this room. There's nobody anywhere that doesn't want that. So let's figure out a way to do that without endangering any further lives. And there's a way to do that.
Okay, so I want to toss out some of the info that the teachers that I chatted with gave me so we can...
Well, do we have any texts of questions?
Oh, we do, actually. I'm glad you said that because I wanted to ask this. How can we find out how many teachers, and I'll just use FISD, that's where we live, already have license to carry? Like, how could we find that out? Do
that's
we
correct.
Actually...
Well, that would have, they would have to voluntarily let you know because I think that's a personal issue.
Right.
Not because that's up for...
I'd like to... Yeah, and with the school programs, a lot of them, they've implemented these, the teachers like Anna ISD voted to carry a couple years back, and most of them take the program in that they're kind of like marshals where you don't know who carries.
Correct.
Which I'm not sure how you would accomplish that in a middle school and a high school. I mean, kids know everything, so I don't know if that's actually possible, even though
I
didn't read it.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of people coming and going in our district.
Yeah. If they carried it on their person, I could see that happening, but I'm not comfortable with that as a parent, just because...
But are you comfortable with people being able to come in and people, your children are not safe?
No, I agree with you, David. I'm glad we're here talking about it, because I agree it's a problem, especially when I read the stat that said this is going to get worse year after year after year. So, anyway.
Why not do an anonymous poll of all the teachers? Not a blank piece of paper, but a questionnaire where, you know, they're just sort of checking off the checks, how they feel comfortable, and maybe possibly at the bottom asking their suggestions on what they think would make them feel safer.
I would like that, but would it actually be an anonymous poll? I think people are apprehensive.
When you're turning in a piece of paper.
I don't know how we would accomplish that, but
I'm grateful for Frisco. Frisco ISD, because when I was on council, they put in a program where they have cameras covering every corner.
Yeah,
we have safety.
They have
communications that talk between the police officers. They have everything. We're blessed to live in Frisco.
Right.
Okay, but we are not the norm.
Absolutely.
The rest of this world.
That's right. Did y'all know, and I heard this, so it's just word of mouth, Detroit has 26 campuses to one SRO.
I believe it.
Well,
they don't have enough police officers. It's just the
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, this...
That's where a lot of our problems in our society are starting, is there's not enough police officers.
And
let's put money towards that. Let's budget that.
I agree with that.
I agree with that. That's totally. What I'm telling you.
Yeah, I agree. And in most of my reading, that's a lot of the cities that have decided to approve teachers to carry. It is very rural areas where it's just cheaper to let that happen than it is than to have more cops.
So what I'm getting out of this conversation, we all agree that we need to protect our kids. Okay, we all agree that if we did arm teach, it would be the absolute last thing that we would have to do. That we should put financial reinforcements into our law enforcement and get more SROs, more cops on the street, more mental health counselors, and try and be proactive to make sure this doesn't happen.
All of the teachers that I chatted with very much mentioned they would rather have more money dumped into the mental health issues and exploring that.
SB 11 is passing in the House.
Are you familiar with that?
I am. It was commented actually on Facebook.
but then again, I don't really think the teacher's responsibility is to emotionally evaluate the students and taking away their teaching power again. And I don't think they're trained.
My dad mentioned something to me that I had not thought about is when you arm these teachers, will they be prepared to possibly shoot one of their own students? Because, I mean, that's the reality.
It's not more weapons up front for teachers. They just got this.
I just said no.
I got a question for David, actually.
Yes, sir.
If you had it the way you put out there that you would like to have it, would you also hold them accountable for not acting? Would you hold them accountable if they hit the wrong person or an innocent kid?
That's a good point.
Like, how would you manage that?
And I also had a teacher, because I want to add before you answer, I had a teacher, and I love this. She said, some of these parents don't even believe me when I tell them their kid is cheating. How am I going to expect them to believe me that they were trying to kill me?
It's not a problem.
How would you manage that? I mean, I'd put it to you or anybody who wants to answer it. How would you manage the teacher who didn't act or who had a mistake? What happened to their career?
Same way you handle any other civilian that thinks their life's in danger or make a mistake and they shoot somebody else that they shouldn't have. But it's the same one. I mean, it's going to happen. Not everybody is perfect in their way of defending themselves.
Would you think that maybe that reality is possibly why we can't get cops hired anymore?
I don't think that we can't get cops hired anymore because we're not paying enough and the cities are not allocating proper amount of money. But when you put your life and your family's life on risk for that little bit of money and no pensions, it really is. It is the most serious issue that we are facing today. It'll solve the drug problems, the school problems, the mass shooting problems, is more law enforcement officers on the street. The cities have got to do a better job of hiring and allocating tax dollars where they belong.
I know we got to wrap a second, but I just want to say this. You know, I'm a recruiter, so I see people that navigate towards the highest paying job. Just like I think teachers should literally be the highest paid profession.
Amen.
I second that.
In any field, I want people to be fighting over those six-figure teachers.
Wasn't there a candidate who said the 3 R's for teachers?
There was a candidate that did say that.
I also think that's the way it should be within the SRO community. I'd like those jobs to be fought over. So not only are you making great money, but you're protecting kids at the same time. Let's not make that the fallback job for those who aren't on the force. Let's make it the opposite. These are the jobs that you see. They're prestigious, they pay a lot, and they do a fantastic job.
I'm all for it. I'd rather have more cops in the school than getting tickets on Stonebrook Parkway, that's for sure.
It's gotten better.
I'm driving a Porsche.
Yes, I'm driving a little slower.
Hey,
there you go.
Speak
Porsche,
that's the problem.
Stop driving a Porsche.
Don't
drive
the Porsche so fast.
Look, Steve, wah, wah, wah.
To you police officers, I no longer have a Porsche. I drive a Volvo right now. So anyway, at this point, thank you so much for coming in. Our first guest, we're honored to have you guys. At this point, we're going to ask Marianne to give us her health moment. Marianne, you're up.
That is so kind of you. Thank you, Steve. I've been following someone by the name of Anthony William. He's also called the medical medium. And I did make my celery juice this morning for my family, just pure celery, nothing else. It has incredible healing powers. It can kill bacteria and pathogens. I've got one for you over there, Sherry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
right
trying
there.
To. I know.
There's a shot.
Taste it live.
You want me
take
to do
a
it
shot?
Now? Let me go ahead, girl.
Really good.
And people ask me what it tastes like, and I. Celery.
It tastes like celery.
Yeah.
Well, I drink a different juice that I buy, and it tastes terrible. This doesn't taste bad. If you like celery, you could do this.
This is juiced every day in the morning. You should have this.
I know. I've
you
seen
eat
her
anything.
On Facebook doing it.
Yeah, it is best on an empty stomach, and it has these special mineral salts that are extremely healing to your gut and your entire body. And there are millions of people that are claiming that they have been healed from various issues, chronic strep, Epstein-Barr virus, eczema, vitiligo. I mean, the list goes on.
Can you put it in something to disguise it if you wanted to give it to
Well, me? It's really best on its own. It's almost like a
I would drink it like
watermelon.
Pellegrino mix.
You know, God created it so perfectly that all the digestive enzymes and everything are right there, right inside the actual food. Celery is actually not a vegetable. It is.
It's an herb.
It's an herb.
Really?
And so therefore people say, well, what about all the fiber? You're throwing out all the fiber. And isn't that what's best? Well, in this particular case, it's the mineral salts that are the most healing.
It's tasty.
And,
I really like celery.
It goes along the same premise. Do you steep a cup of tea and then rip the bag open and eat the tea leaves? No. They're not beneficial. It's the herb that's extracted. Cold press. I love my cold press. I use an Omega. We bought it.
Amazon,
but they do have it at Bed Bath & Beyond. My son bought it with a 20% off coupon. He saved $5. I would just recommend for people to maybe go on Facebook and look up the medical medium. He has nothing to gain, really, from you going to your grocery store and buying celery. There has been a shortage because it is healing a lot of people. When I first started out juicing, maybe, 5 months ago, I could get it for $1.99, maybe $1.50 at Sprouts. It's very hard to come by.
Is celery on the commodities exchange?
Have organic celery for an entire month. Not one stalk. Wow. So when you find, I buy 8 stalks at a time.
And one stalk fills about 8 ounces, right? Or 16 ounces.
Could be like.
So you get a lot of juice out of it. It's pretty good. Too.
You feel really good. You just feel great. You'll feel it after you drink it. You just know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marianne, for
You're
that.
You're welcome.
That's going to be a weekly part of the show, Marianne's Moment. We'll call it for now until we come with something else. I want to tell everybody about our next show, which is going to be really exciting.
I'm sad we're already.
You want to do this one again?
I'm going to keep talking.
I'll say something before you go off. Sure. I just want to say thanks to you and Sherry. Nice to meet you. But mostly thanks to David for having a respectful conversation. I appreciate it.
Common ground, right?
You're here. Absolutely.
That's great. Right. Take a picture of that on the way out. But our next show will be, should we allow prayer in school? Because that's a topic that comes up. I know that recently when I first got on the board, people were talking about a Muslim prayer room, which really wasn't a Muslim prayer room. But
right.
It did come up, and people talk about praying, you know, at football games.
It pops up on social media every time there's prayer at the poll, you know, all of that. So it is a topic people want to talk
With
about.
Our communities becoming more multicultural, more
right.
religions, you know, I can understand, you know, at one time.
Are we going to share what guests we're going to have right now? Or do
yes, we
no,
will.
I
no,
I think we should leave it as a teaser.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it as a teaser for our next show, which is next Thursday, 8 a.m. We really hope that everybody enjoyed the show. The guests were great. I would have liked a little more bantering. I think we have to add that in. Join
well,
Jude's
I had
life.
To get this whole when can I jump in thing. Like, I'm trying to be good.
I think you'll get that next week.
Yeah, there you go. And I want to thank again our sponsors, Elevated Roofing and Porsche Plano and Leisure Living Pools. Thank you so much for coming. Thanks to George. Thank you, Marianne, Ira, David, Sherry. God bless. Everybody have a great week. See you all next week. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to KBGIRadio.com.
Streaming live.
Streaming from our studio in Frisco, Texas.
Frisco, Texas.
KBGIRadio.com.